ॐ श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। किङ्गङ्गाम्बुनिबिम्बितेऽम्बरमणौ चाण्डालवाटीपयः पूरे चान्तरमस्ति काञ्चनघटी मृत्कुम्भयोर्वाम्बरे प्रत्यग्वस्तुनि निस्तरङ्गसहजानन्दावबोधाम्बुधौ विप्रोऽयं श्वपचोऽयमित्यपि महान् कोऽयं विभेदभ्रमः। शंकर उवाच जाग्रत्स्वप्नसुषुप्तिषु स्फुटतरा या संविदुजृम्भते या ब्रह्मादिपिपीलिकान्ततनुषु प्रोता जगत्साक्षिणी सैवाहं न च दृश्यवस्त्विति दृढप्रज्ञापि यस्यास्ति चेत् चाण्डालोऽस्तु स तु द्विजोऽस्तु गुरुरित्येषा मनीषा मम। ब्रह्मैवाहमिदं जगच्च सकलं चिन्मात्रविस्तारितं सर्वं चैतदविद्यया त्रिगुणया शेषं मया कल्पितम्। इत्थं यस्य दृढा मतिः सुखतरे नित्ये परे निर्मले चाण्डालोऽस्तु स तु द्विजोऽस्तु गुरुरित्येषा मनीषा मम। शश्वन्नश्वरमेव विश्वमखिलम् निश्चित्य वाचा गुरोः नित्यम् ब्रह्म निरन्तरम् विमृशता निर्व्याज शान्तात्मना भूतम् भावि च दुष्कृतम् प्रदहता संविन्मये पावके प्रारब्धाय समर्पितं स्ववपुः इत्येषा मनीषा मम। या तिर्यं नरदेवताभिः अहमित्यन्तस्फुटा गृह्यते यद्भासा हृदयाक्षदेहविषयाः भान्ति स्वतोचेतनाः ताम् भास्यै पिहितार्कमण्डलनिभाम् स्फूर्तिम् सदा भावयन् योगी निर्वृतमानसो हि गुरुरित्येषा मनीषा मम। यत्सौख्याम्बुदिलेशलेशत इमे शक्रादयो निर्वृताः यच्चित्ते नितराम् प्रशान्तकलने लब्ध्वा मुनिर्निर्वृतः यस्मिन्नित्यसुखाम्बुधौ गलितधीः ब्रह्मैव न ब्रह्मवित् यः कश्चित् स सुरेन्द्रवन्दितपदो नूनम् मनीषा मम। यत्सौख्याम्बुदिलेशलेशतः इमे शक्रादयः निर्वृताः। सो शक्र इन्द्र एट्सेट्रा they are satisfied by what little fraction of the total ananda. So you have to understand that it is not a relative ananda. It's very important to see this. It doesn't mean that there is a huge amount of ananda sitting somewhere and I'm going to get that. That's normally how one would see things. So in Brihadaranyaka Bhashyam, Bhashyakara says that this the point where mathematics fails, that is where there is Niratishaya Ananda. Niratishaya means what? Absolute, no relativity. When you talk of no relative Ananda, at what point does it reach? That is the Sakashtha Saparagati that you see in the Kathopanishad. So, Kashtha means highest, absolute. There is no Atishaya possible. Atishaya means it can be improved upon. There can be something done about it. And we are talking of that Atishaya Ananda as the Sukha. That Yat Saukhyam Budhi, when we talk, that Ambudhi means an ocean. Ocean means there is no end to it, no shores. And that is the limitless Ananda. Right? But how do we normally understand limitless? If I say, oh, it's very beautiful. You know, the possibilities are limitless. You go to this place, you know, there are so many things you can do. Possibilities are limitless. How do we understand the word limitless? Only by extending the limitations that we know. We keep extending the boundaries. And even when we step into Vedanta, why do we step into it? What is our thinking? There is dukkha. Dukkha I want to get rid of. I want to be sukhi. Very natural, right? Sukha is what we want. So therefore, the word sukha, the word ananda is used all the time by the Shrutis. Okay? Now this sukha, I have little sukha. Even Indra has got a fraction sukha. Then how much sukha I must get for the sukham buddhi? Therefore, we are set up to think of an experience. We want to have an experience where there is immeasurable ananda. How wonderful it would be. You know, one manushya ananda itself is big. So 100 times that ananda must be, you know, really mind-blowing. Therefore, capital B, bliss, becomes very important to understand it that way. But then, what is the Shruti talking about? And why do we say then finally that ananda is your nature? We need to understand this very clearly, because the more we understand this, only then it has an impact on our doing things, right? So we hear this every day. We have been hearing now for at least one year plus. What? Sukha is my nature. Sukha is my nature. If you think about it, why do we take up any karma? Why do we do anything in general? Or why do we not do some things where we have an option, where it's volitional? Why do we do or not do? You look at it. Can be in a matter as simple as, you know, going to the dining hall and deciding what to eat, how much to eat. Depending on the food, I will eat more or less. Because one food seems to make me happy. Right? So I'm saying, although we hear it, that ananda is my nature, what is our pravritti? Our pravritti is ananda is in a situation. There is some situation which makes me happier. Okay, some people will say it's not the situation. It is my mind and the situation together. No, both have to be aligned. Then I will get ananda. Okay, if that is what is true, then what is the use of studying this? What does jnanam do for us? Jnanam can only do one thing. It can do no second thing. What is the one thing it can do? Ajnana nivritti. It can only remove our ignorance about something. So by removing the ignorance, what should happen? You know about something. So if you don't know, you know, how to get to Coimbatore from here, you ask somebody, ajnanam is removed, then you know how to get to Coimbatore. You can call a taxi or you can take a bus. You don't reach Coimbatore with that. Ajnana nivritti will not take you to Coimbatore in that way. You have to do something. So when will ajnana nivritti may do anything for us? Only when there is a mistake, I want to gain something which I already have. Then alone ajnana nivritti will make a difference. And that ajnana nivritti will mean equal to what? Whatever I wanted to gain is already mine. There is no effort required. This ananda is what we are talking about. That swarupa sukha. Then what is the connection between that sukha and the sukha that I am after? In your thinking, do you see, say for example, hot is opposed to cold, yes or no? Yes. Now, in the same way, sukha and dukkha, are they mutually opposed in your thinking or not? They are. If they are mutually opposed, should they be of the same order of reality or not? A shadow cannot box with me. Correct? Therefore, if the sukha and dukkha are of the same order of reality, then alone they can oppose each other. Correct? Are they of the same order of reality? If they are, then when dukkha comes to you, sukha has to go. Whenever dukkha comes, whenever a situation which is possible to bring dukkha comes, your sukha should walk away. And it does seem to happen. But we are talking of what? Nitya sukham budhau. Nityam means what? Nitya you will see. Nitya you will see next. No, right now we are saying, yasmin nitya sukham budhau galitadhihi. What is this nityam word telling you? It tells you it is not in time. It is always there. If it is always there, then you tell me, is the sukha that you understand a sukha Shruti is talking about? If it is, then there is either something is wrong with my thinking, right? Or the Shruti is wrong. So if it has to be nitya, and my clear understanding is sukha will go away in the wake of dukkha, then that sukha is not what it's talking about. Then what is this sukha it is talking about? What sukha is it talking about? You see how the Upanishad approaches this. Where is dukkha placed in your pancha koshas? So you have kosha, right? Manomaya. Where is sukha placed? Why? If it's the same order of reality, shouldn't both be in manomaya? Where is sukha placed in terms of shariratraya? Karana sharira. Where is dukkha placed? Sukshma sharira. Why this difference? No, I'm saying now, you may say, but I'm asking where does Shruti place it, I'm asking you. So, you're saying I know better than, I mean, you means not you as individual. I'm saying we all think what sukha is also part of manomaya. That's the experience. Correct? If that is what the experience is, why is Shruti placing sukha in anandamaya? What is the difference? What is the sukha that Shruti is talking about? If sukha comes and goes, it cannot be nityam. We are talking of nitya sukham buddhi. I am trying to take up the word nitya sukham buddhi. What is nityam? That which does not have a dependence on time. That which is not coming and going. Okay? If sukha is always there, constant presence, then how come I am looking for sukha? How come I am looking for sukha? And I do find sukha. It's not that I don't find it. It's not ever evading me. When do I find sukha? When some situation seems to happen. So I place the sukha being found, I take it as being brought about by something. Brought about by some situation means what? Brought about by an effort. Brought about by karma. Even if you call it luck, it is purva karma. It is karma phala alone. Every situation is karma phala alone. Therefore, if that is how this sukha is coming to me, then Shruti cannot be right about it. But what do I have, Shraddha, that Shruti is right? And I am running after Shruti. If the sukha I want is the sukha when you know, something changes, then what should be my means for that sukha? Karma. It cannot be study. It cannot be jnanam. Moksha cannot come from jigyasa then. And if moksha can come from karma, then it cannot be nityam. See the impossibility of gaining moksha through our effort to doing anything. So then, this sukham, if I tell you, you are looking for happiness, that happiness you are not going to get by any amount of study. The happiness you are looking for. Because the happiness you are looking for is that which is opposed to dukkha. What is moksha? Even in the face of dukkha, I can say, I am fine. Why? Really, is there something called dukkha? Or is there dukkha prapaka situation? Situations normally make somebody sad or, you know, unhappy. But I am saying, the same situation does not make another person unhappy. Not necessarily. or the same situation does not make the same person unhappy in another day, another time. What does it show? That situation does not have happiness or unhappiness. This happiness and unhappiness is what? It is not the experience per se. It is your conclusion. I am happy. Means what? I don't resist it. I accept the situation happily. That's what that happiness is. I accept it. Without resistance, what you accept is the situation where you feel happy. And when the acceptance is total, then there is nothing which prevents you from being totally comfortable. So what is happening really in sukha is only a negation of the dukkha. Sukha is not another thing. It is not equivalent to dukkha. In sukha there is no effort. It's effort free. In dukkha what is there? There is a mental strain. You can't live with dukkha forever. There is a mental strain. And that strain is there because of my resistance. So in the meditation we talk about recognizing this person who is staying with his free will suspended. Because the free will is used to resist it actually. I am not questioning the emotion coming up. An emotion comes. An emotion may be an emotion which is like dukkha. But that emotion, is it really the source of my dukkha? Or is it my resistance of that emotion? Look into it. It is my resistance of an emotion which causes pain, which causes stress, which causes dukkha. And I cannot accept that dukkha until I see reason why I shouldn't accept it. Because to accept any emotion is not my lot. That's how I am. I resist dukkha. Naturally I do. It's given that way. That's the system. So I'm saying to be able to see that this sukha is really nothing but a dukkha nivritti. And dukkha nivritti may not be physical. Dukkha nivritti is seeing the dukkha and still saying there is dukkha. It's passing. Right? Because in the first verse also what did we see? We saw the Jagrat Swapna Sushuptishu Sphutatara Yasam Vidujrumbate. In sleeping, when a person is asleep, for the sleeper, the waker and the dreamer, in all these three states of experience, the one which is always present, that presence is not involved in these emotions. That presence is just a witness of these emotions. The emotions are going like a movie. You're watching them. Even when watching a movie, we cry. That's our difficulty. We are totally involved, and therefore I don't want to watch a tragic movie. I only want to watch a movie which ends very well. But the fact is, I'm saying, movie is moving. And no thought can stay with me for a second minute. Therefore, if I want to hold on to this sukha which seems to come and go, it is an impossible task. It cannot be done. So nitya sukha is what? We understand the fact that what you see as sukha, there is no such thing called sukha. There is only dukkha nivritti. And that dukkha nivritti can be by changing the situation, by forgetting the situation, or by welcoming the situation. By seeing that situation has nothing to do with me as a free person. It is the use of my own free will to resist what is that causes dukkha. And that, if I understand, and I also understand the fact that how much ever I attempt to hold on to a given thought like sukha, that vritti, is impossible. For a length of time, it's impossible. If I understand that, my effort should not be aimed at trying to hold on or perpetuate that sukha. That is where all my effort goes right now. To perpetuate that moment of sukha. To bring about situations that will bring about that sukha. That's where all my effort tends to be. So if I understand this very clearly, this clarity is so important that what I am looking for is not possible. What I am really looking for is dukkha nivritti. Dukkha is because of my own resistance of what is. Why do I resist? because I take myself to be a limited being, fundamentally. Therefore, how will this go? By recognizing that I am free from limitations. So if one even gets a glimpse into this, to see the fact that I am free from limitations, I am comfortable being myself despite all the things which seem to be wrong in my life. If I can get a glimpse into it, what does it tell me? That what the Shastra says is perhaps true. That this Nitya Sukha is not a Sukha that comes and goes. If it is not a Sukha that comes and goes, and Sukha also we should know clearly is what? Centered on me. It is not centered on an object, not centered on a situation. Because if that was there, in the supermarket you would find an item labeled Sukha and you could go and pick it up. Anyone could go and pick it up. There would be a price tag for it, that's all. Why it is not so? Is because it is not centered on an object, not centered on a situation. It is centered on me. If it is centered on me, and if it is not coming and going, what is the only other possibility? It is me. It is inherent to me. Then if it is inherent to me, why do I not see it? Because I am making a mistake. Atasmin tad buddhihi. And this making a mistake can be so innate to us that we won't even think it's a mistake. Just this morning, see, I walked out of my room, I went near a temple, then I saw some students running out. So I said, yeah, yesterday was, we did the class, we missed the class in the morning, today morning there's a class, they're all running out to class. Okay? Then I saw Swami Sadatmananji walking in. And I said, oh, why is he late to class today? Conclusion is first made, today there is a class. Okay, now everything else is going along with it. Why is Sadatmananji late today? 7:15 is here, he is sitting here. Okay, he'll go when he has to go. I continue to do my prayer. Then after a while I see Martina sitting there in a temple. And I wonder, why is Martina sitting here? Today is Upanishad class. Then I see Praveen plucking flowers. I wonder what is wrong with these people today. Finally I see Ganapati. 10 to 8. Then I ask him, Ganapati, isn't there a class? Why are you not in the class? Do you know there is a class? Ganapati looks at me and says, oh yeah, I asked even Venkatesh this morning at 5. It is self-meditation today. Then I, oh, today was supposed to be self-meditation. I was supposed to be a timekeeper. Okay? But in my mind, I am so convinced that today there is no meditation. Today is class. And everything else I am seeing, which is actually showing me I am wrong, I am using all of them as support to say, this is wrong. This person is not in class. This person is not in class. Swamiji is late. Everything is wrong. Okay? Except one thing. I am wrong. Okay? This is called Adhyasa. Atasmin tad buddhi. And so convincingly real. Why? Because I don't even see the possibility of my being wrong. We look into our own minds. This idea that the Sukha is not me is so convincingly set up, it doesn't get dislodged easily. And until we see that, it is next to impossible to have this attitude of Karma Yoga. Because what is Karma Yoga? It tells you, you do what is to be done. Let the result come. It doesn't matter. Do what is to be done. Right? And it is a means for what? Antahkarana Shuddhi. So how do I gain Antahkarana Shuddhi? By doing Karma Yoga. How can I do Karma Yoga? I should say, result is okay. I have a goal in mind. And whatever comes is okay. How can I say what comes is okay? How can I even have this interest in doing karma with this yoga buddhi? Only when I recognize the fact that sukha happens to be my very truth, my nature. I am looking for it elsewhere, which I will never find. It's impossible to find. When I see the utter lack of connection between what I am seeking and what I am trying to do for it, then that is called vairagyam. That is vairagyam. That vairagyam, even to this extent if it comes, that viveka if it comes, then alone I can see that even though I have always thought that I should do something to gain something, okay, let me at least do one karma today, my prayer, to say, I don't want anything extra Antahkarana Shuddhi. Then can I do one more karma? Slowly I can do more and more, seeing that what I do, what I gain through karma phala, can never give me the freedom I am seeking. In fact, they perpetuate my life in this life of becoming. This clarity is only possible when I see that sukha does not lie outside. It's not a karma phala. If it's a karma phala, it cannot be limitless. When I'm talking nitya sukham budhau galitadhihi, nitya sukham budhi, this sukha, which is my nature. Nature means what? Not depending on anything except myself. When it doesn't depend on anything except myself, the self-evident being that I am, self-existent, self-evident being, then what does it mean? It means there is only one self-evident being. We have seen that before. Everything else is what? Dependent on me. There is no second thing. Then where can sukha be except myself? It has to be myself. That when I start to see, only then it is possible to strengthen my vairagya. Really, though we say vairagya is a means for us to gain this adhikaritva and moksha, this knowledge will improve vairagyam, vairagyam will improve the clarity of knowledge. This is how it works. It's not a clean sequential train. It doesn't work that way. That vairagyam that we have is always dependent upon our understanding. Because what is vairagyam? As I said, seeing the lack of connection between my action and what I am seeking is vairagyam. And that is purely knowledge. So Shankara says that this ananda, which is niratishaya ananda, this absolute sukha, he says it is dharmaha tan nimittaha. Dharma, a life of dharma is the cause for it. Then he says, jnanam cha tad vishayam. The subject matter of that ananda, that niratishaya ananda, total freedom, is jnanam. Then what else? Akamahatantvam cha niratishayam yatra. That akamahatattvam is the most important point there. So he says, see, we said yesterday that there is a gradation of ananda present in the Shruti. Gandharvananda, Devagandharvananda, you know, Brahmananda, all these anandas. And each one is said hundredfold. And each line he says, Shrotriyasya cha kamahatasya, Shrotriyasya cha kamahatasya. Now, the first Manushyananda was presented as what? A Manushya who is Yuva, Sadhu Yuva, Adhyayakaha, Ashishto, Drishto, Balishtaha. Yuva, youthful. And what kind of Yuva? Sadhu Yuva. So Shankara says that Sadhu Yuva means there is enough attenuation of Papa. Because without Punya, you are not going to get there. Okay? Then, Adhyayakaha, one who is read well, one who is studied, that says he is Shrotriya. Okay? So now, for a Manushya to gain sitting under a tree, to gain that Ananda which belongs to Gandharva, Manushya Gandharva, Deva Gandharva, Pita, Deva, you know, Ajana Deva, Ajana Jana Deva, Indra, Brihaspati, how is it possible? The Shrotriyattvam and Avrijinattvam, he says, is common to a human being who has got this Manushyananda even. Then what is it that makes a difference between this Manushyananda and Niratishaya Ananda, the absolute Sukha? Only one. This Akamahatattvam. Shrotriyasya cha Akamahatasya. What is Akamahata? Not Akamenahataha. Na kamena kamahataha. Na kamahataha akamahataha. One who is not done for by his own sense of lack. A lack concluded by him, just like I concluded that today there is no meditation. How is that going to be corrected? It has to be only corrected by a pramanam. And the pramanam today was, when I went to see Swami in the morning, he asked me, why you didn't go to meditation today? not Swami was not my guru. Ganapati was my guru. So he told me, today is actually self-meditation. So I'm saying, until I understand, any amount of doing will not help. This akamaha tattvam is the extra, the vishesha, which makes the difference between a simple manushyananda and the niratishayananda. Shrotriyatvam, avrijanatvam is common to even a manushya who is exalted. But this akamaha tattvam, which is nothing but vairagyam, is what makes all the difference. And that vairagyam cannot come until there is viveka. Discriminating, understanding what is what as it is. That understanding is so important. So we have to see the fact that the sukha that Shruti is talking about here is not that ice cream sukha. It is a swarupa of that ice cream sukha. Because that ice cream sukha is the sukha which is always there. But that denial of that sukha by thinking, I am happy if I get the ice cream, that denial is all that goes when you get an ice cream. So that, we see these glimpses of our sukha, our real nature, in situations where the denial is taken away for a minute. And therefore, we go after creating those situations, recreating those situations where we saw a glimpse of it. But what we are talking about is, you are the very source of all the anandas. But then, will it be always he? It's not. Because that, to see that, if you look at it, the contrast is what makes for that happiness. When you're very happy about something, you will find the contrast very large. So if you wanted something desperately and to get it, you become very happy. If you just didn't care whether you got it or not to get it, there's no happiness in it. You know? So if you're looking for a laddu, you want it badly and you get it, you're happy. If you had 15 laddus and I give you one more, you're not interested anymore. What changed? You don't want it. That want is what makes for that happiness, that extra joy. And that is what we seem to run after. If one is looking for the contrast, that contrast is not what Shruti will offer you. The Shruti is telling you that you are the truth of every contrast. That sukha and dukkha, as you see in your manas level, what you call manomaya sukha, that sukha and that dukkha are both swallowed by which is the real ananda. Because ananda is myself, and it in no way negates or denies the existence of this dukkha. There is ananda despite the dukkha prapaka situation. I don't want to say dukkha. Why? Because dukkha is not real. Dukkha depends upon your response. Therefore, it's very important to see Shankara says that the vishaya is jnanam. It is not experience. See, an experience, as I said to you earlier, the word experience itself is funny. Really, every experience is nothing but jnanam. Okay? Because if you say, sugar is sweet, did you have that experience of sugar? Sweet. Is it an experience? Really, it is jnanam of sugar. But yet, we use the word, tend to use the word experience when it comes to what is this emotions we see as experience. Taste, smell, hearing we see as experience. Right? All these we see as experience. So none of these experiences by themselves are sukha or dukkha. You conclude. So if I gave you, you know, sweet. Some of you will say it is sukham. Some of you will say it's dukkham. I don't like sweets. So that sukha dukkha is not an experience. Sukha dukkha is your conclusion based on an experience. And what is that based on? What is the basis for concluding this is sukha? It is in keeping with my raga. That is sukha. What is not in keeping with my raga is dukkha. So this understanding of sukha dukkha is not the sukha we are talking about. We are talking of that sukha which is the reality behind every experience. So that sukhambudhau, yasmin nitya sukhambudhau galitadhihi. Galitadhihi, gal sravane, dhatu is gal sravane, to melt. Melting here means what? Resolution. It is total resolution, wherein the individuality vanishes completely. Because there is only one. The subject-object merge completely. There is nothing else but me. That. And when is he having this oneness? Nitya. All the time. Nitya sukham budhau. Or I can take it as that sukha is nityam. And this person who has fully recognized it is not only happy in samadhi when all thoughts are not there or in sleep, but even when things are going on. Sparshan, jighran, you know, ashnan, gachan, shwapan, shwasan, nimishan, unmishan, napi, indriyani, indriyartheshu, vartanta, itidharayan, brahmanyadhaya karmani, what? Sangam tyaktva. He is able to live by himself without any problem, saying all these indriyaha guna guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. You saw it already? I don't know. Guna guneshu sajjante iti matva na sajjate. You see, this eyes are happy seeing a particular sight, ears are happy hearing a sound. It is not ears which are happy. It is my conclusion, I am happy. Why? Because I had a raga for a particular sound. So when we see this, no sound is a source of problem, no emotion is a source of problem, everything is fine as it is. Because there is only one reality, which is Sat Chit, which is Ananda, which is myself. In that, Nitya Sukham Budhau Galita Dhihi, that person is called what? Brahmaiva. He is Brahman alone, because Brahman is nothing but that reality, Satchidanandaha. Then what is Brahmavit? If you take yourself to be Brahmavit, means what? I am a knower of Brahman. Then what does Brahman become? One more thing. Right? Or as I said, until we have clarity, as I explained yesterday, until we have clarity, I am a Brahmavit, but with a lot of pratibandhas. Therefore, that Brahmavetrittvam does not deliver its results to me. And sometimes I am not even a Brahmaveta to that extent. I just know, many a time when we say, do you know Brahman? Yes, I know. We say, I have heard what Brahman is. That's really what we are saying. Because I have heard a lot of times, and I like to believe. I have Shraddha, I believe. But the Shraddha in this matter does not take you much further. That Shraddha has to become my reality. It has to become my own reality. And that means that just saying, yes, I know that I can chant the sentences, you know, Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi, this does not solve anything. It has to become me. So until, starting from the point that one hears about, you know, what is Brahman and what is Sukham, up to the point that one never misses this reality, as Radha was saying yesterday, Swami says what? I am never away from my vision. That vision is what? Satchidananda Rupoham. That vision, until one is never away. There are a lot of shades, right? And all those shades, what will you do with them? Therefore, Shastrakaras will talk of Brahma, Brahmavit, Brahmavit Variyasaha, Brahmavit Varishtaha. And Pujya Swami would say, this is not a good idea. Why? Because in this Brahmavit, you don't want to make further differences. It's not a good idea. So Swami would say normally about this, how? He will say, we are all in the process. Once you have heard his class, you cannot be the same anymore. Therefore, what do we say? We are in the process. Process can go on for long, but we are the process. That is said in the Shastra, in Sampradaya, by some people as Brahmavit, Brahmavit Variyas, Brahmavit Varishtaha, and all those remove. Just Brahma. Remove that with also. That vetrittvam, jnata, jnana, jnaya. Those differences also you knock off. What remains is only Satchidananda. So that is the meaning of, you know, Brahmaiva na Brahmavit. He knows it clearly as himself. There is nothing else to be done. As Sukhaswarupa. यः कश्चित् स सुरेन्द्र वंदित पदो नूनम मनीषा मम. Whoever knows this, यह कश्चित् is this ब्रह्मवित्, is ब्रह्म, not in ब्रह्मवित्, is ब्रह्म. यह कश्चित् knows himself as ब्रह्म, सह सुरेन्द्र वंदित पदः. He is a person who is saluted by Indra. Surendra is Indra. Surendraihi Surendrena vandita padaha. One who is saluted even by Indradi. Such a person, Nunam Manisha Mama, what? Chandalostu Satudvijostu Guruhu Ityesha Manisha Mama. Nunam indeed, definitely, without doubt. I understand that he is my guru. Darshana darshane hitva swayam kevala rupatah yastishtati satu brahman brahmana brahmavit swayam. The one who does not look for darshana adarshana, some sight comes, some sight goes, some perception happens, some perception goes, doesn't look at any of this. Kevala swarupatah, one who is able to sit, that is Brahma. It is not Brahmavit. He is Brahma. And the people who know this, they will not sit without this vritti even for a second. Why? Because it is not to be memorized. It is not remembered. I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. This is needed till we recognize the fact. Nidhyasanam is very important. But we all have a self-opinion. Self-judgment is given. We are sitting ducks as long as, because self-evident eye, you cannot but make a conclusion about yourself. If that conclusion is, I am Sukhaswarupaha, then how can you ever be away? But until that change, that cognitive shift happens for good, that Aham Sukhaswarupa Sachidananda Brahmaiva Asmi, until then there is something to be done. Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, and gaining that Vairagyam, that Akamaha Tattvam, which is the real cause for the comfort that we enjoy. Because the knowledge payoff is in the Vairagyam, in that objectivity, that none of these have any bearing upon my being comfortable with myself. I can be happy with a situation which is dukkha prapaka, I can be happy with a situation which is sukha prapaka, normally sukha prapaka, normally dukkha prapaka for others. Which means, I can be happy irrespective of the situation. I can be happy irrespective of time and place. Isn't that where I want to be? That one who knows, that indeed is my guru. Anybody who knows this and who can make me see this is indeed my guru. Ityesha Manisha Mama. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.